Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lav. Well, Justin Rose is your first round leader at the 89th Masters, carding a 7 under 65 that his peers, Rex, were calling absurd and ridiculous. That is 3 shots clear of defending champion Scottie Scheffler, Ludvig Åberg, Corey Connors, Bryson DeChambeau, among those, another shot back. Rory falters late for a 72. Did I get everything? Did everything that I could pack into the intro about what happened here at Augusta National?
No, and thanks for joining us. Be sure to check out tomorrow night's podcast. Yeah, no, I think you covered it. You did a very good job. And I think it was one of those days. It was an Augusta Thursday is simply what it was. It was interesting watching Rory go out. I think at one point in the afternoon, I was having the conversation that I cannot wait to get to tonight's pod, just to point in Lavender's face. And there, he got off to a good start, get off his back. And now, of course, we don't have that. We'll get into Rory a little bit more. I thought it was interesting, again, a very quintessential Masters moment. I was talking with Colin Morikawa about how his day went, and it was very up and it was very down. At one point, he eagles 13 and he's in the lead by himself and ends up finishing pretty much middle of the pack. And he said, this only happens here. He said, at one point today, I felt like that's the worst possible score I could have shot. And at one point today, I felt like that's the best possible score I could have shot. And that defines Augusta.
I mean, if you take Justin Rose's round out of it, and he went absolutely ballistic on the greens, one of the best putting performances of his entire career. I mean, this was a grind for virtually everyone. Victor Hovland, who has played a handful of these now, said that was the firmest he's ever seen the opening round at the Masters. And of course, the winds are exposed to pick up on Friday, and then we're going to have cooler, drier conditions on the weekend. And so this place could, of course, become a torture chamber. You hate when I do this, Rex, because I've been mentioning Rory's opening round at the Masters for like the past 2 months. But here's the trend. And here's the stat for the day. You ready for this?
Sure.
Since 2006, no player has been worse than T11 after the opening round and gone on to win. The average position all time of the first round leader is in sixth place. And so keep in mind right now, as we're recording this podcast, 26 players are inside the top 11. All are one under or better. In other words, within 6 shots of Justin Rose's lead. You know who's not T11 or better, Rex? Roy McIlroy, after making 2 double bogeys in the last 4 holes. Let's get into Justin Rose. I believe that's going to be your topic for the Live From Hit that is upcoming here on Live From the Masters.
You sure? I haven't heard. You sure? I don't know.
I have absolutely no idea. But what were your thoughts on Justin Rose? He did come a little bit unglued late. I think was pretty fortunate to come away with a par on 17, blew it way right in the trees on 18, bogey the last to shoot 65. Nonetheless, ties his lowest career opening round score at the Masters.
I will say I've never heard the phrase Indian summer of my career. And apparently, please, you guys, let us know. You're always good about letting us know. Apparently, is that a thing? Is that a British saying? Because apparently what he's saying is he's getting later in his career at 44.
Twilight.
Yes, but I'd never heard it referred to as Indian summer, but he kind of embraced that. He likes that. And he goes back to essentially maybe the last 2 years. I had a chance to talk with his swing coach, Mark Blackburn, about the idea that last year's Open was really an epiphany for him. It showed him that, yes, even at this advanced age at the time, 43 years old, you can still compete. There's going to be courses where you can't compete. He used Valhalla as a perfect example. A bomber's golf course, probably not going to be his best, but he put up a solid week. These are all incremental gains that he felt like showed him the right direction. And I think what we see today, it's fun when you go back and you look at actually Justin Rose's career on this golf course. And he's actually played this golf course so well. This is his second 65. Mm-hmm. And as you pointed out, I think there's a razor's edge to this golf course that has only grown, has only gotten harder with the conditions in the day. And for him to play late in the afternoon in the hardest of the conditions, and other than 18, have a really stress-free day. I'm not saying, to circle back around to your stat, I'm not saying Rosie was an outlier, because I don't think he's going to go away. However, I don't see him shooting another 65 either. I don't. That pace is not going to continue. So I think there's going to be an adjustment somewhere up and down there. But I will give him more credit. He wasn't in your top 10. He wasn't in my top 10 when we did those last Sunday.
You wouldn't have been in his top 10.
I don't know that anyone would have done it. All those things being said, when you actually look at his record, you look at the things he does well, ball striking today, he putted really well. he is a good fit for this golf course. We shouldn't be surprised.
I mean, he has proven, yes, that he is a good fit for this golf course. Does have a couple of top 10 finishes on the season. Played well at Pebble Beach. Played well, I believe, at Bay Hill as well. Like we mentioned, the 65 that he shot in 2021. If you look at the rest of that tournament, did not go Justin Rose's way. Did not break par. The remaining three rounds ended up finishing seventh. Of course, he had a couple of close calls, actually, in the mid-2010s. Lost to Sergio, chased him all the way to the end. Then he was a distant second place to Jordan Spieth in 2015. I was sort of reminded, Rex, that at the last Grand Slam event that we attended 9 months ago at the Open Championship in that final round at Troon, I wrote Justin Rose. Justin Rose was my profile subject.
Did you forget? Did you forget that until just now?
I forgot that was the last major championship story that I wrote, and it was Justin Rose. He was 43 at the time, chasing the Indian Summer, whatever that means. I've essentially referred to it as a twilight of his career. But in talking that day to Mark Fulcher, his longtime caddy, who he has reunited with recently, in speaking with Mark Blackburn, who is a very accomplished coach, won PGA a Teacher of the Year award just a couple years ago, like, everything is around Justin Rose in a position where he can succeed at this advanced age. He's assembled a team around him to really help him maximize his gifts. He's rebuilt his battered body. Remember, he had the back issues that seemingly came right after he ascended to world number one. Like, he's put so much money into all of the treatment and the physiotherapist to make sure that he can maximize what his body can do now at 44. He has the new coach. He has his caddy back on the bag. Again, it's not going to be the consistent performance that Justin Rose was able to accomplish in the mid-2010s, but there is still plenty of good. He understands how to play this golf course. He understands at this point his strengths and weaknesses. I don't think he's going to win the Masters, but I also don't think that he's going to just fade into oblivion at this opening round either.
No, I don't think so. And talking with Mark Blackburn, as you just pointed out, really good swing coach, has a lot of the game's top players. After the round, I put it in the context that we talked about this with Rory, that, and it was Jack Nicklaus who actually brought it up, that maybe Rory needs to be a little bit more disciplined around this golf course. Maybe Rory needs to be a little bit more disciplined when it comes to golf specifically, but let's keep it to this golf course. And I kind of put it to Mark, would it be fair to say that Justin Rose has that discipline? He actually gave me a really cool anecdote of the team getting together in what they sort of call the pregame bus, where it's the caddy, it's the swing coach, it's the physio, it's everyone going through exactly what they needed to do today, how they're going to play certain shots, what they're going to do on certain holes, where they're going to be aggressive, where they're going to lay back. Mark pointed out that very few players have as much experience on this golf course, and as we pointed out, successful experience. So, no, I'm 100% with you. I don't think he's going anywhere. Again, I'd be shocked if we see 65-65. I just don't think that's out there. But if he's not in the mix come Sunday, that actually would surprise me.
Okay, like, we probably could talk Scottie Scheffler at this point. He did, of course, shoot a bogey-free 68, but I've got a feeling, Rex, we're going to be talking about Scottie Scheffler for the next 3 days. To me, okay, the biggest story of what happened on Thursday was not Justin Rose's 65. It was what happened to Rory McIlroy, essentially over the last 75 to 90 minutes. To say that I was shocked would be an understatement. I mean, this was a guy who was seemingly in full command of his game. I was remarking to anyone who listened, like, wow, look at these flighted irons. You know, he's sort of sawing it off. He's so much more in control. He's, you know, he's not going full bore with the driver. He's keeping it in play. Yeah, he wasn't making a lot of putts. You know, he missed a shorty on one. He had a couple of other chances as well. Didn't even capitalize on number two. And yet he was 4 under par, Rex, standing on the 15th tee. How would you describe what happened to Rory over those final 4 holes? And where does it leave you at this point on Thursday night?
Soft, unforced errors, right? Like, we anticipate, we have seen in the past where he can just blow one way off the map and then he starts to scramble and things get sideways. If you watched, and I had to go back and watch these a couple of times, by the way, the Masters website is by far the best website in all of golf.
Like, best in class. Kid,
you guys are so good. And I had to keep watching it. Like, what did he actually really do wrong here? And you know, let's go to the first double bogey on 15, because I think when I walked down to the scrum area, you mentioned that he's going to go to 5. He's right behind the green on 15. So that was the last I'd heard.
No, sir. No, sir. I did not mention that, because about 30 minutes earlier, Patrick Cantlay from a similar position chipped two balls in the water. Yeah. So what stood out to me on 15T is Rory McIlroy is, if not the longest player in the game, one of the longest in the game. And yet he hit it just, I believe, 294 yards off that tee with the driver, sort of smoothed one out there, did not catch the slope, and left himself 235 yards into a green that was recently redone. And players have remarked all week that is one of the, if not the most firm greens on the entire golf course. And I think we didn't have a chance to ask Rory afterward because he did not speak to the media. That's a little bit of foreshadowing of what we can anticipate. But he really liked the four iron that he hit. He started walking after it. It landed pretty close to pin high and went over the back. What I would love to know is, did he hit that pitch shot cleanly? It certainly looked like a clean strike with this pitch shot from over the back on 15, but that didn't have any check virtually at all. I mean, there was zero grab, and it ended up trickling into the water, goes to drop zone, blasts 30 feet past, ends up making a seven. The margin for error on that hole in particular now, especially after it has been pushed back in distance over the past couple of years, especially now with the green being as firm as it is after being redone, that is a really, really tricky shot. To the point that Ludvig Åberg, who played alongside Rory, said, look, even if I have a go club in my hand, you know, a 4, 5, 6 iron into that green, I'm still going to be thinking about laying up. Because if you lay up, you're not going to make worse than five. Whereas, as you saw with Rory, potential disaster looms if you can make a double bogey seven.
No, and that's fair. And let's fast forward. Like, I'm not going to split hairs with you on that one. I would call it sloppy at the very least. Maybe unenforced, but it's clearly sloppy. It's not as though he just showed up today and is playing this golf course for the first time. He's made not one but two scouting trips up there. He should have had an idea what maybe other players in the field did not. Fast forward to 17. That was definitely unforced and sloppy because you missed the green from a position he probably shouldn't have missed the green from. And again, it looked like the firmness of the greens probably surprised him a little bit. You hit a mediocre chip from behind the green, and then you do the one thing you can't possibly do. You probably get too aggressive on the first putt, which now leaves you with a really, really difficult bogey putt, which you missed. And now everything that you've done all day long has now been washed away in a span of, you called it 90 minutes. I'll say it's closer to 60 minutes, maybe even less than that.
Pace of play was dreadfully slow.
It was, but it was, everything came unraveled. And this is what Jack was talking about this morning when he was asked about Rory. These are the mistakes. This is the lack of discipline that we see from him on this golf course time and time again. And this is what's kept him from a green jacket. We can talk about all of the other things and the stats and the people that have beat him. It's this lack of discipline.
I mean, it was shocking because for reference, Bryson was 50 yards further on 15 than Rory was. Clearly, he carried it a little bit further and rocketed down the slope, and then he was able to hold the green, ended up two-putting for birdie there. So, like, the margin for error from what, again, he thought was a really good four iron, I have to give him a pass. Where he made the mistake was not sort of babying the pitch shot up there, leaving himself, you know, 10, 15 feet down the hill and trying to make your four that way. May have gotten a little bit too cute. It clearly flew it too far into the green and didn't have any check on that. On 17, you know, I've been remarking all day how he was playing these sort of sawed-off approach shots. He actually went full bore at it from the first cut, about 175 yards on 17. He wasn't even remotely close to hitting his number. I mean, he flew that past the flag that was located on the back portion of the green. I don't know if he caught a flyer or he just wildly misjudged the wind. I would think it's probably the latter. But, I mean, that was landing pin high and rocketed it 20 yards too far, left himself in a really difficult position. Again, stormed off the golf course. Looked like he was going to hurt someone or something. Didn't even think about stopping and headed right to the parking lot. How about the defending champion, Scottie Scheffler? Again, bogey-free 68. Only hit 11 greens in regulation. Is this tournament already over, Rex, at 7:45 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday?
I mean, it's not over, but the story that I wrote on golfchannel.com was this is more like it. This is what we've come to expect. For all the hand-wringing, for all the second-guessing that we've been going through this year, bogey-free on a day like today, given the situation. It's not even like he kind of had two close scrapes with bogey, but he was 7 for 7 from the bunkers. I mean, he was almost automatic. His actually his approach play, which has been his hallmark, was a little bit off statistically, but he did everything you need to do today. And you and I both were in the scrum when he spoke with the media, and he sort of elaborated on what he touched on earlier in the week, that this time around in this event, he's finally prepared. I was speaking with someone from his team last night at the awards dinner about the idea that he essentially was 4 weeks behind, a month behind where he wanted to be because of that offseason wrist injury. If you check the boxes, that adds up, because had he not had that injury, then yeah, you probably could have seen him coming into form sometime coming into the Florida swing. Certainly the Players Championship would have been that. And everything you saw from him today is that looked like the guy from 2025, the guy I stood on stage last night and read all the accolades, because it's not the guy that we're seeing this year that seems just a little bit off. Good, not great. This was the guy from last year.
I mean, he's just such a well-rounded player that even though he hit 11 greens, like he's the best iron player on the planet. And oh yeah, he's also the best scrambler. He's able to, salvage if on the rare chance he does get out of position. He was only out of position, I believe, twice the entire round. I think it was 7. He found the front bunker. Was able to 17. Get that one up and down, and then 17 as well, where he just missed the fairway, had to hoist his approach shot over the tree, caught the front bunker, and then, you know, hit a brilliant sand shot to about 2 feet. So, I mean, if he is going to do that, yes, this golf tournament is likely over. From a strokes gain perspective, he did everything well. I mean, well-rounded throughout the bag. Very, very few mistakes. Scottie Scheffler will be going off on Friday afternoon in what is expected to be the most difficult conditions, wind gusts 20, 25 miles an hour. But I don't think it's anything to worry about. How about the other players, Rex? Bryson DeChambeau shooting 69. Colin Morikawa, my pick to win the tournament, bogeying 3 of his last 4 holes to shoot even par. Xander came in at 1. Brooks came in at 74. John Rahm came in at 75. What else stood out to you?
I pitched a note on Morikawa that I probably that they don't want me to do on live from, but because
why not?
Sure, why not? Because the idea, and I'll use Morikawa as just the example, where after that round, you would have thought maybe he was aggravated. Again, eagle, birdie, a couple bogeys come in at even par. However, someone like Colin had probably glanced at the leaderboard or at the scoreboard and realized that plenty of guys played their way out of contention today. John Rahm probably played his way out of contention. I can keep your dark horse pick, Phil Mickelson, clearly played his way out of contention. We can keep going on and on down the list. It's the same. It's the reverse conversation that we've been having about Rory, that you can't win it today, but you can certainly lose the tournament today. So I would say, and you're going to lean into your stat again, so please don't bore the audience with it, but anybody at even par or better still has an opportunity, especially with what the conditions are going to be like tomorrow. I'm not expecting, certainly not Scottie Scheffler, to go in reverse. I'm not expecting Justin Rose to completely go in reverse. But I think there's still something to be done out there. And as you pointed out, the winds aren't going to get easier in the afternoon. So anyone going off early that maybe didn't have their absolute best off, Rory being the example, on day one, can make a move.
We're going to put a pin right now, Rex, in John Rahm, who shot 75. The continuation, perhaps, of what was
going to save that for tomorrow. Yes. We're saving that one for tomorrow. All right.
Yeah, we're going to put a pin in that and see if Rombo can turn it around. Because to me, that was one of the biggest surprises. He was certainly among my top 5 favorites. Really played terribly on Thursday. Could not make anything on the greens. All right. It is time now for Moving Forever Forward, presented by Workday. What are you most looking forward to, Rex, checking out on Friday?
Twofold. We touched on the idea that Scottie Scheffler is Scottie Scheffler again. He put the cape back on, and he's going to face a little bit more difficult conditions. But I love the idea that he leaned into, that this week he's finally prepared, that everything has fallen into place. Houston was a good warm-up for him. He has been able to get the reps in and make sure his swing is where he wants it. And we know how comfortable he is on this golf course. And I don't care how difficult the conditions are going to be, he's going to be the guy to watch. He's going to set the pace. And it's not easy when you start chasing him down. Again, speaking with someone from his camp, the idea that they wanted to point out that what he did last year, and maybe to a certain extent in the year before, was Tiger-esque. And I have made that same argument before, and I hate doing it, because comparing anyone to Tiger is just blatantly unfair. But he is on a pace, and if he continues down this path, we'll probably have this conversation even more on Sunday, to do something that really only Tiger has done, which is to win here 3 out of 4 years.
You say you don't care about what the conditions are going to be on Friday. The only thing I care about is what the conditions are going to be on Friday. Let me read the weather report from our friend Stuart Williams.
Reading.
Winds 12 to 16 miles an hour with gusts of 22 to 27 miles an hour. It could be absolute carnage on a golf course, Rex, that already is among the firmest they've ever seen for the opening round of the Masters. You remember the high winds that Augusta has experienced these last couple of years. Remember, it was 40 miles an hour gusts each of the last 2 years. We're not going to get to that level, but the golf course, even after an inch of rain on Monday, could be a potential torture chamber for these guys. And so I'm curious to see if the conditions either deteriorate or intensify as the round progresses. Rory's going to be going off early, trying to avenge what was a very disappointing end to his opening round. Scotty Scheffler playing late on Friday when the golf course is going to be trampled on after 95 players have already gone through. You know you don't like these stats, but here's a good one. 18 of the last 19 major Masters winners were within 4 shots of the lead after the opening round. And so essentially, Rex, this tournament is going to be won by Justin Rose, Ludvig Åberg, Corey Connors, Scotty Scheffler, Bryce DeChambeau, or Tyrrell Hatton. That's it. At this stage of the seedings, it is just those players, historically speaking. That's a pretty good list. That's a pretty good leaderboard. You and I are both pretty excited about what will come the rest of this 89th Masters. All right, we have plenty of writing to do. You have plenty of reporting to do on Live from the Masters. You guys on the drill, nbcsports.com/golf for our latest news, notes, and updates. You can find Rex and I on Live from the Masters at about 10:45 a.m. Eastern time on Friday together for our hit. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. Talk to you guys on Friday night.
Such an agent of chaos.